Well, good morning, everybody. I hope everybody had a good Thanksgiving and hope you didn't eat too much to where you became painful. I know we talked about our debate last week between ham or turkey, so I solved that debate by eating beef, and I hope that was acceptable. We had a good Thanksgiving. Thank you for prayers. We traveled to Birmingham for a day and then came back, and we are very thankful to be back in Clarksville. We even had a little bit of snow yesterday. If you caught that 30 seconds of snow flurries, I got my hopes up that we would be building snowmen today, but we did not. I am again thankful to be preaching another sermon on the basics of our Christianity, of the church, and we're going to be doing that again today. If you want to go ahead and stay in your Bibles in the book of Hebrews, we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 10 this morning. If you were able to grab a bulletin, there is an outline in there for you. I always go back and forth on whether to put the outline in there because I pretty much give you my entire sermon on Friday. And I don't want to ever cause somebody to be like, well, I don't even have to go listen to the sermon now. But I want to put that in there just so you can have it as extra notes for you, especially when we're thinking about these basic doctrines of the church. I think they're helpful to have, maybe to stick them in your Bible and to always remember them. And so we're going to be doing that again today. Now, one of the worst questions our kids ask us is probably this one. Do I have to? Right? As it's so cold outside, what is the one thing the kids don't want to do? Put on extra clothes. I do not want to wear my coat, Mom and Dad. Do I really have to put that on? Right? We hear that all the time. We lived in South Dakota for about 2 years. Now, South Dakota winters are wild. They are constant winds of 40 miles an hour and constant temperatures below zero. And being raised in the South, coats were never just on my to-do list when it was cold outside. And so that kind of got bred into our oldest daughter. And so she never wore jackets. And people looked at us like we were wild, right? And one of the main questions we would often hear is, do I really have to put that on? Well, it's negative 14 outside. It's probably a good idea if you do. Right? I remember a lot when I was growing up, this was a favorite question of mine. I didn't want to go to football practice. At sixth grade, I probably asked this 400 times because I didn't want to go. And so I would ask over and over and over, do I have to? You know, I wonder how often this question has filtered into our Christian lives as adults, right? What we're going to talk about today is, do I have to go to church? I wonder how many of us ask that question. I wonder how many at home may be asking that question. I wonder how many people who have left the church have asked this very question. Do I have to go to church? Now, I hope to answer that question this morning, and I pray that it won't be too simple of an answer for you, because we're going to look in Scripture and let God answer that question for us. Now, here's the truth of it all. If you want to look in Hebrews chapter 10, we're going to be in verses 23 to 25. But notice on your outline, there is a breakdown of verses 24 and 25. Read with me as this Hebrew writer writes, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." One of my favorite studies is the book of Hebrews, because it is a wonderfully scripted sermon that this writer has put down to help encourage people to faithfulness. You will see throughout the book of Hebrews, like we saw in Hebrews chapter 3, this idea of making sure we're encouraging one another. Don't forget your brothers or sisters. Encourage them to have confidence, to make sure they are drawing near to God. And that's what's being used throughout this sermon, to encourage people to remain faithful. Because this Christian walk is not easy. And so that's why this writer of Hebrews is writing this sermon, to encourage faithfulness. And this is how one of those ways, this is one of those ways we can help each other stay faithful. Notice he says, let us consider, right? The idea of consider is we need to make observations of people. We need to be noticing our brothers and sisters in Christ, seeing how they're doing in life, right? Because we can see when somebody's coming into a church building and they're looking down and they're just slumped over, there's something going on in their life. And we need to help them, right? We need to go talk to them. We need to cheer them up. We need to encourage them. But it's going to take opening our eyes and noticing people. Noticing what's going on in their life. Maybe they're not their same self this particular Sunday as we're assembled together. Go talk to them. See how they're doing. But that's going to take us actually observing and noticing and considering one another. Notice he goes on to say, let us consider how to stir up, to provoke, to encourage, right? One another. And that's in reference to the brothers and sisters in Christ back from verse 19. Now, what should we be encouraging one another to do? What should we be observing and then saying, hey, I want to encourage that person to love and good works? Are we doing that every time we meet together on Sunday? Are we finding people? Are we going to them? Are we encouraging them to love and good works? You see, the idea in Hebrews is the idea of, I want to encourage you to stay faithful. Because if I'm constantly focused on love and doing good, how hard is it for me to go into unfaithfulness, right? If I'm encouraging my brother or my sister to love their neighbor as herself, or even to consider to do good works, to serve, to be involved, how hard is it to become unfaithful? I'd say it's pretty hard. And see, that's why this Hebrew writer is making sure to say, here's what you need to do. Consider one another, right? So that we can encourage one another towards love and towards good works. Now, verse 25 is usually a verse we in the Lord's church will take by itself and rip it out of its context to force people to come to church. And that is so wrong on our end, because we forget about verse 24. We forget about verse 23, these other let us statements that are talking about we want to encourage people to stay faithful, right? So there is the verb that we need to do. We need to consider one another on how we can encourage one another. Why? Not neglecting to meet together. That's how we do that. If you don't come into this church building, what if we don't see you throughout the week? Maybe you've got a busy life going on throughout the week, but we know we can meet each other on Sunday mornings. What if you're not here? How can we ever consider you? How can we ever observe you and notice maybe there's something going on in your life? How can we ever provoke you to love and good works if you're not here, right? These are some hopeful questions that we can ask ourselves when going through this text. So we don't want to neglect the assembly or the meeting together, as is the habit of some. What does that tell you was already happening in the first century? There was already people missing out on the assembly. There was already people asking probably that same question. Do I have to go and meet with the church? Do I have to go be with them? Because it had already become a habit. And the way that this Hebrews writer is explaining this, you already see that because it has become a habit in their life, a lot of people have left their faith because of this. They have not stayed faithful. They have not held fast their confidence, right? But we want to not neglect the meeting together, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Each day we get closer to the Lord's return. That's what they understood. That's what I understood. Whether the Lord comes while I'm still alive or whether the Lord comes when I die, right? Each day I am drawing closer to that. That is why it's so important for us to be here, to stir one another up, because each week it's like Satan is rearming himself to come after you. And every first day of the week, guess what we get to do? We get to encourage one another to keep fighting that fight. But if we're not here with each other, if we're not a part of this assembly, if we're not being able to observe one another, how hard is it for us to encourage you? Now, That's what the truth is in the matter. Do I have to go to church, right? Now, here's the heart behind it. Why would you not want to go? If you're going to ask the question, do I have to, why would you not want to, right? What is in your heart that says, I do not want to get up early on Sunday morning and go and be with my brothers and sisters in Christ? Why would you not? Because when we're here, hopefully, we are doing what we need to be doing to encourage you, to observe what's going on in your life, to help you, to be able to stir up love and good works in you. Now, here are four common excuses made to miss church. Guess where I got these excuses? Myself, right? So here's what Matt has made. Here's the excuses I have made back in the day when I just thought to myself, do I really have to go to church? Maybe this is an excuse you've had in your life on why to miss the assembling of the saints. Number one, I can just go in the evening time. Okay. And maybe that's not as prominent here, but there are a lot of people that will say, hey, since we have two Sunday services, I really don't like being around the crowd on Sunday mornings, so I'll just slip in on Sunday evenings and just worship then, right? There are a lot of elderships who are saying we need to get away from offering that Sunday morning 2.0 on Sunday evenings because this has become a habit of some to miss out on the assembling of the saints to come in the evening time. Now, here's a statement that we studied last week from Justin Martyr. Notice, and on the day called Sunday, there is a gathering together in the same place of all who live in a city or a rural district. An assembly happens. We all make our assembly in common on the day of Sun. They came together to stir one another up, to edify one another, as 1 Corinthians 14 will talk about, to encourage one another. They all came together at a time they all knew they needed to assemble together. Now, here are some questions I want you to ask yourself and focus on. If we say, and we make the excuse, I can just go in the evening time, you need to ask yourself, what made you miss the morning time? Why did you feel it wasn't necessary for you to come and be with the saints during the morning assembly? Can we ask ourselves this question too? Is the whole assembly together in the evening? We have an attendance log sheet. Somebody goes around and counts. I don't know if you've ever seen that mysterious person that walks through here and counts people during our time in this auditorium. But I can tell you about 50% of the people that are here on Sunday mornings do not come on Sunday evenings. Is the whole assembly together on Sunday mornings? Yes. What about the evening times? No. So can you really be assembled with the saints in our main assembly if you miss out on our assembly time? No. And what if our elders one day came in and said, hey, what if we just had one service? Could you make it to that one service? If you could make it to that one service, then why can't you also make it to our assembly time? Excuse number two, I have a lot going on. I'm just too busy, right? And this is prominent nowadays because a lot of our employers offer overtime. And what does overtime mean? More money. And more money means I can get the boat that I want, I can get the new clothes for my kids that they need, I can get the new shoes that they need, I can get all the stuff because I'm working 6 days a week, I'm getting time and a half on Saturdays, or maybe even double, right, depending on your job. And then Sunday comes, and guess what? I am tired. And so Sunday is family day. Sunday is traveling day. Sunday is go do what we want today. And guess what we miss out on? Assembling of the saints. How can we encourage you? Because I can imagine working 6 days a week, you need some encouragement, don't you? And that encouragement that you find in the world will never sustain your faith. But the encouragement you find here can. And so a lot of people will say, I just have a lot going on. I want you to notice what Jesus says in his Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21, he says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where is your heart when you make the excuse, I have so much going on in my life that I can't worship and be assembled with the saints? See, if that's our excuse, we need to really step back and realize where is our heart in our faith. Next, a third excuse, I can just watch it online. Now, ever since 2020, prior to that year, I don't think this was really an excuse. But then post-2020, a lot of preachers, a lot of elders, a lot of churches got up there and said, hey, we can virtually assemble. Okay, we made that statement, and I'll throw my name in that hat too. And then we really thought about it because we wanted to make sure it was okay that everybody was not meeting together. And we wanted to make sure everybody was okay that, hey, look, we can assemble online. Can we really assemble online? Absolutely not. And I'll just make that statement. I don't know what happened here in 2020. I know what happened where I was. We took 6 weeks where we did not assemble together. We thought, hey, we could just live stream it. You can't assemble when you're doing that. How encouraged were you when you watched a little screen? Did somebody get to actually observe you in your life and what was going on and stir you up? Could someone come up to you and hug you? Could someone come up to you and give you a handshake and smile and cheer you up? No. We got to watch a lesson. We got to sing. We got to worship. But we didn't get to assemble. You see, there's a big difference in that, and I hope to be able to explain that in just a second. Here's some logical questions I want you to ask yourself. Can you be assembled with the saints when you're not present with the saints? It's a simple logical question you can ask yourself from when we went to virtual online worship. How can you show love if you've never really showed up? How can I show that I love you as a brother or sister in Christ if we're not here together to stir one another up? And how can you encourage when you're not there in person? Hopefully these are some questions we can ask ourselves about this particular matter and how it's so hard for us to truly assemble when we're trying to do it behind a screen. Notice, just because you can worship does not mean you are a part of the assembly. Now, again, there are people that are shut-ins, that have physical ailments, that they are unable to be a part of our assembly. And I understand that. But there are some who say, do I have to really go to church? Can't I just do it from behind a screen? And the answer is no, we can't. We can't truly assemble because I can't encourage you. I can't observe you to love and good works. How do I know you're not one of the sheep that is walking away from the flock if I can't know what's happening in your life? If I can't talk to you, if I can't be together with you and observe you. Now, our fourth and final excuse that is commonly made to maybe not wanting to go to church, it's not where I feel closest to God, okay? I've used that one, trust me. Especially being an avid outdoorsman, that was a favorite of mine. So, why do you not feel closest to God being surrounded by his people? See, sometimes people that like to do what I like to do, go out and hunt, do all these things. I'm out in God's creation. I'm in his nature. I feel close to God out there. Well, why would I not feel close to God being surrounded by his people? Why would I not feel close to God coming into this building on a Sunday morning and getting to see all these smiling faces, getting to see all these people gathered around in the lobby talking and laughing together and showing love together? Why would I not feel that close? Next, how loving and encouraging is the assembly you are a part of? Now, I don't think that's a question we need to ask at Hilldale, because all you have to do is stand in that lobby for 20 minutes and watch people come in to this building, right? You can watch people come in, and I'm sure there will be a gathering of people laughing and smiling and talking about each other's lives and seeing how everybody's doing. This is a loving congregation. So if you're not wanting to be here, maybe we need to step back and look introspectively at ourselves and ask, what is wrong in my heart? Why do I not want to be around this congregation? Maybe it's something going on with me. Now, here are some excuses. And the statement I want to make at the very end is we should never let our feelings steer our faith. Right? That's what the Hebrews writer is trying to encourage here. Don't let how you feel steer what God wants in your life. You see, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, we have this whole, this is the inspiration of Scripture, but it's also how I live a godly life. And who determines how I live a godly life? God does. It's His Word that He breathed out so we could become people of God. And so as we end this morning, I want to encourage us, instead of asking, do I have to? Instead of making that statement, do I have to go to church? Let's say, I'm so glad I get to. As the day is drawing near, as we are getting closer and closer to Judgment Day, each and every day that we are alive, be thankful that we get to be a part of this congregation. Be thankful that we get to assemble with these saints here at Hilldale. Because what a wonderful bunch of Christians that are here. And I hope that we'll always want to be together and observing one another and being able to stir each other up and encourage one another. Maybe you're here this morning and you are struggling, and this is an assembly day where you find yourself in need of that encouragement. You would like for us to stir you up through a prayer. We would love to pray with you. Whatever may be going on in your life, there are elders here, there are shepherds here that want to know and they want to pray for you. Or maybe you're here this morning and you're ready to become a part of God's flock. You're ready to put on Christ in baptism, have your sins washed away, and you want to become a child of God. If you're ready to make this morning that morning, we would love to see that happen. Or maybe you're ready to start studying. You would like to get into a one-on-one Bible study. I would love to study with you. There are other people here that would love to study with you. Let me know. I can put somebody in contact with you, or I myself will study with you. We just ask that if you have any need this morning, you come while we stand and sing the song of invitation.